This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com and click on Station 2 and the Listen icon. You can also participate during the show with calling questions for our guests. Toll free USA and Canada, 888-429-5471. Tonight's guest, Major General Albert Stumblebine, retired, and his wife, Dr. Rima Labo. General Stumblebine, United States Army Academy graduate, received his master's in chemical engineering at Columbia University. His active duty career spanned 32 years in intelligence, and he's here with us to share a lot of things this evening about what's going on around the world. And also, Dr. Rima Labo is here to share with us what is really behind the Ebola virus. So let me start by saying welcome to both of you. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
General and Mrs. Labo.
Dr. Labo. Most people
General
call me
Dr. Labo.
May I just make a slight correction. General Burt is too mild-mannered to say it, but his name is actually Stubblebine, S-T-U-B-B-L-E, not Stumblebine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, General Stubblebine.
Don't because I've been called a lot worse.
Well, being in the military, we always get called a lot worse.
Yeah, you're right.
General, what is your analogy of what's going on around the world today, and what is behind us? We know you spent time in the intelligence field with the military, and I'm sure at the Pentagon. Can you fill us in on what is really happening? Because I know the American public are not getting an inkling of truth.
Well, that's a very interesting and very complex question, very frankly. Let me start with the Ebola, though, because it clearly is designed to do more than what it appears to be doing, I think, I believe. You have a virus that has been manufactured, okay, is not natural, has been designed and manufactured in a laboratory, and has been designed so that it, when it impacts a human being, it has a 90% kill rate. 90%. Now that is
wow.
Yeah, wow is right. Now you got to be, you know, that makes you sort of sit back and say, what in the world is going on? First of all, why would we design a thing like Ebola,
a weapon
that will kill 90% of the people that it impacts on. Now, what's the target? You know, who's the target? Why are we doing this?
Well, and who is we?
Yeah, well, it was designed in a U.S.-sponsored laboratory.
Would that be Plum Island?
No, it was done in a laboratory in
Sierra Leone.
And it was sponsored mostly by the United States government.
And Bill Gates and George Soros.
Well,
I must jump in. And by Bill Gates and by George Soros. Well, it needs to be said. Bill Gates, George Soros, and the World Health Organization funded this laboratory. It's quite an interesting story. And it's about weaponization, and it's about depopulation, and it's about suppression of cure. Dare I say it, cure.
Well, when you have a 90% kill rate designed into this weapon, which is really what it is, and I was not going to mention the two names that Dr. Rima mentioned.
Public information.
In any event, when it's designed to kill 90%, you've got to sort of trace back and say, why? Well, if you're in a war, you can understand that. If you have a real enemy, I suppose you can make a reason to kill 90% of the population, but we're not at war, or are we? Big question.
Well, could it be that the government is at war with its own people, with its own civilians?
We didn't start in the United States. We started in Africa. Now, there's a potential reason for that, and that is to make sure it works. You know, that maybe the trial, the official trial, to see whether this thing really does what it was designed to do. And then, once we prove that it can do that, we can move the target to any place we want, which is kind of an interesting thought process.
It's funny how everything seems to originate in Africa and those areas where they're bringing out, whether it's E. coli or Ebola or if it's the AIDS virus, are these all genetically manufactured by the West or by...
Yes.
Okay, so AIDS was also manufactured along with the N1 and N1H1 and N5H1.
You got
they
it.
They were all manufactured. Wow.
Now, why? See, that's the fact, okay? The answer to your question is yes. Okay, my question that comes up immediately is once you sort of convince yourself that it's true, why? What's going on that requires those kinds of weapons, I mean, which is what they are? What do we need those for? And who is the target that is going to be selected to be the victim of?
And that takes us directly to Agenda 21.
I might be able to answer that one. The system, of course, has been robbing the public, and they've been robbing the people, and they've been, whether it's the International Monetary Fund or the Feds or everybody else or our own Social Security system. The money's been taken from the people, but, of course, worldwide, every country is in despair financially, so what better way to do away with the debt?
I think it's a little more profound. By the way, I don't know whether your listeners know that General Stubblebine is the president and I am the medical director of the largest health freedom organization in the world. It's the Natural Solutions Foundation. And we spend a lot of time working out the issues that we're talking about now and figuring out what the depopulation strategies are that are being used to get rid of us by making us infertile, by making us dead. Ebola is a very good dead maker. And who stands to benefit and what it's all about. We didn't start out believing that we were looking at organized depopulation, but the evidence is incontrovertible.
Let me insert. As a matter of fact, I absolutely did not believe, because of my career, where I had spent all of my, I got to back off 1 second because I'm not just a career military. I'm an Army brat. My father was a West Point graduate, so I grew up as a kid with knowing that the democracy was critical, that freedom was critical, that freedom of speech was critical, that all of the rights of the Constitution were critical. That is how I grew up. That is my background. And then I spent the 32 years in the military, and then after I retired, I spent six more years doing essentially the same thing as a contractor. So my entire life has been spent in defending all of our rights, absolutely believing in everything that about liberty and freedom of speech and all of our rights, and a defender of all of that. And then suddenly I wake up one morning, and incidentally, it took me a while to wake up. Woke up, I said, holy smokes, why did I spend all of those years believing and understanding that liberty was more important than anything else, that freedom of speech was more important, and now all of that is being turned upside down. So it has been a real strike, almost a strike in the heart for me to go from total belief to total disbelief in what I'm seeing. So it's been a real shock, to, frankly, to me.
Well, it's a real shock to all of us, General. I mean, when I was in the military and I was in the service and they wanted to send my troops to Honduras, and I went against it because they weren't sending them in their MOS positions. They were trying to send them as something else. And, of course, you know, it was around the same time when you served, when they were down there fighting the Sandinistas, and nobody really knew anything about what was going on here. So I refused to send my men there and decided to send them to their sister units so they can do hands-on training. And I took it all the way up the chain of command, one, but when we came back, I was out of a position.
Yeah, I can understand that. Incidentally, good for you.
Thank you, sir. I wasn't about to send my my squadron down there.
It takes a lot of guts to do that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Let's move on to the politics of it, General. What do you see going on? What is your perception of what is going on? You being in the intelligence field, what do you think is going to happen in the near future here in the United States? We know that we're pretty much in a doomsday scenario with the financial crisis and everything else. What is your perception on that?
Well, I think we're headed to a world government of some sort. And in order to do that, It's absolutely impossible to have a world government with the United States as strong and standing tall as it has been. So what is one of the first things that needs to be done? You got to bring it down on its knees. You got to bring it down from its tall posture so that it can be exactly like every other country, irrespective of where it is and what it is, so that everybody is all alike, a world government.
And that alike is, of course, on their knees. It's not a an uplifted alike. It's a downtrodden alike.
No, it's way down.
Right. And well, we noticed exactly, they did that.
That's exactly where we're headed, down.
Well, they did that to the to Russia. They completely, you know, brought it into communism and then cut its feet out from underneath it to where it had no choice but to fall. So what are they trying to do now? Are they trying to build up power in another country and have that other country run the world? Or
may I just jump in? Because
sure.
There is a program that that I've been writing about with the other trustee of the foundation, Ralph Fiasatola, and that is called the Global Health Security Initiative. Now, GHSI was cooked up not long ago by the Club of Rome and the United States government and the World Health Organization and a bunch of other really bad actors, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, they're always in there, of course. And they decided, and they are also supported very strongly by Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, they decided that international infection, for instance, Ebola, was a serious, serious problem and could damage the world very, very strongly. So they decided that they would put together a completely independent, non-reviewable, bureaucratically uncontrolled agency, an international agency, and they would give themselves the power to do anything they wanted. They are not controlled by any elected organization or any answerable organization to anybody. They can, if there's a contagion, they can come in and take you out of your home, put you in a camp, treat you, separate you from your family, vaccinate you, eliminate you, isolate you, all in the name of protecting you. But what does protection mean? Ban Ki-moon has two proteges whom he trots out and has published in many, many journals around the world. And these two guys have a very interesting hypothesis, which is that infectious disease creates victims, that's correct, and has vectors, people who can spread it. And sometimes the victim and the vector are the same, and sometimes they're not. And so the best way to protect the world, I kid you not, the best way to protect the world from infectious disease is to have fewer victims and fewer vectors, with the added benefit that if we get rid of an awful lot of people, i.e. victims and vectors, they can't reproduce. So there'll be even fewer victims and vectors. And that is the program of the Global Health Strategic Initiative, GHSI. And if people want to read more about it in detail, they can do so by going to a tiny URL, tinyurl.com/endghsi. It's a fascinating approach to depopulation. And when you have GHSI all set up and ready to rock and roll, then you need a good disease. Oh, say, Ebola, which allegedly has no treatment, no cure. And I would like to have the opportunity to talk to you about what an authorized cure means or authorized treatment means in the deceptive language of the FDA and the international bodies, because it's a lie.
Right. So this is why they're bringing this guy back here into the United States to announce that the Ebola virus is here, and they're going to make it seem like it's a good thing to take their serum, but their serum is going to inevitably kill us, I'm guessing.
Yeah, why would you bring something like Ebola to the United States?
To kill people. I mean, come on, there's no question there. Yeah, it turns out there is a simple, effective, and readily available, inexpensive treatment for Ebola, which was discovered or verified by the United States government, which is now denying it. Very interesting.
Well, there's supposedly a lot of cost-effective treatments for cancer that work a lot better than chemotherapy, but they're not going to apply it to us.
Not supposedly, actually, I'm a physician. I practice drug-free medicine. And General Byrd is here to tell you that when he got terminal cancer in 1994, and we said, why don't we do something smart? Why don't we actually cure it and deal with the reason that he got cancer? You know, he's sitting right here beside me 10 years later. Sorry, no terminal cancer, no cancer at all.
Amen.
And what was the cure for that?
Well, I reasoned that his immune...
He rebuilt my immune system.
That's exactly right. I reasoned that the problem was not his prostate, that cancer is a disease of the immune system failing, not a disease of the tissue that shows the symptom. And so I simply did exactly that. I rebuilt the immune system with herbs and nutrients and a variety of powerful, gentle, safe, totally legal methods, and cancer went away. And there's been no recurrence ever since. And since I'm a physician, I treat a lot of people that way, not just General Byrd.
Took a year to make it all go away, but it's gone and has stayed away.
Yep.
And that was terminal prostate cancer. I believe there are a lot of cures of pretty much baking soda, molasses, and water that pretty much keeps your body alkaline so you can't contract it. But we've also cured a friend that came up with prostate cancer, and he did that for 3 weeks, and it was gone.
Yeah, there are lots of ways to do it. I happened to do it the way I did it at that time. This was 10 years ago. We didn't know about the baking soda and not molasses. I prefer maple syrup, but, you know, same thing. We didn't know about that at that time, or at least I didn't. I knew about lots of things, but we learn all the time. My point is, yes, cancer is one of the many curable diseases, which is, by the way, a disease of undernutrition, according to the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization in a special report that they authored in 2002 to present to Codex Alimentarius, which was rejected by Codex Alimentarius. That's very interesting. So the point is, the Global Health Strategic Initiative is designed specifically to leap into the breach when we're all supposedly dying of Ebola virus in this case. And the way to foil these monsters is to not get sick and to not die. That strikes me as the easiest and best thing to do.
Okay, great. I've got a caller from Toronto on the line, and he's got a couple of questions for you. Velkovsky from Toronto. Are you there?
Edmonton. Close enough. But basically, my question, Rima, is I've done the studies. I've read the studies on the vaccine, and they show overwhelmingly that there's no real proof vaccines even work. What do we do to get people to stop using their belief system and start doing the research? Because that seems to be the biggest hurdle for us, to get people aware of what the vaccines really are all about. And do you have any advice to get people to start looking at the studies and not just listening to people talking?
Well,
vaccines are all about money.
And debt. Money and debt.
Right. And population control, yeah.
Yeah. In order to...
And you don't want to ever take one.
Ever. Never. In order to get people to do the research, you have to have an educational system that teaches people how to think. We don't. So we have to give people two levels of information. One is the research information for people who can follow through with complex thoughts, and there are fewer and fewer as the educational system mitigates against that kind of functioning. And the other, and fluoride, never underestimate the impact of fluoride on people's inability to think. And the other thing that we have to do is give people very focused, clear, short, sharp, accurate information that says, if you do this, bad things are going to happen, and here's what they are, with backed up by science, of course. I do an awful lot of writing about vaccines. I have a video that's been seen by a lot of people called "Be a Vaccine, Become a Vaccine Refuser" with me. Every time one of the celebrities, like Jenny McCarthy, makes her anti-vaccine pitch, and of course she's softened, and now she's saying, "Well, what we need are safe vaccines." Excuse me, that's an oxymoron. Every time somebody who has celebrity recognition for people who don't have scientific processing capabilities because they need to develop them, every time one of those people says something like that, it's good, and we should share that. We shouldn't make fun of the fact because they're a celebrity. Who knows? Maybe they had a PhD before they became a celebrity. That's irrelevant. The fact is, if they're right, they're right, and we have to give people safe alternatives. We have to be clear and say to people, they say, parents say, well, what happens if I don't vaccinate my child and something happens? And I say, well, what happens if you do vaccinate your child and something happens? And then I tell people about nano silver nobody will ever get an infectious disease, including Ebola. And declassified U.S. government.
Okay, we seem to be cutting out there, Dr. Label. Hello, Dr. Label? I guess they got them. Oh, there you go. We're having some issues with your Skype, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, okay, I can hear you well, but when I get to this kind of thing, inevitably we have communication difficulties. So it's tinyurl.com/stop Ebola. The paper, declassified in 2009 by the U.S. Department of Defense, is there. The only thing that stops Ebola, that inactivates it, that keeps it from adhering to a cell, penetrating the cell and replicating in the cell, is 10 parts per million nano silver. Not colloidal silver, not ionic silver, not protein silver. Sorry about that. Even if you make it at home, you're betting your life on something that's a pretty poor bet. It's 10 parts per million nano silver. And yes, our foundation actually sells it. You know, we make it available to people to protect themselves.
So it would be nanosilver that would be the cure for Ebola.
I'm not allowed to say cure because the FDA, right, that's the Food and Drug Administration, takes exception to that. I can say that it is legally a therapy that may benefit, and I can say that it's a nutrient. Now, let's talk about the fact that the U.S. government says that there is no approved treatment for Ebola. And they're absolutely right, because the U.S. government, the FDA, lacks the authority to approve a nutrient. They have the legal authority to approve a drug or disapprove it. They have no legal authority to approve or disapprove a nutrient. The only thing they can do is take it off the market if it's mislabeled or if it's contaminated. So if it's a nutrient, and silver is a nutrient, then they can't approve it. So, there is no approved treatment for Ebola. There is, however, an effective therapy which may benefit, which is the phrase that we're allowed to use, a therapy which may benefit Ebola, because the science says that it stops Ebola dead in its tracks.
Now, why is there... I'm sorry. Are there any countries that are going to be exempt from all of this, or is everybody under the same gun?
Well, in 2000, I'm sorry, in 1974, Henry Kissinger, who was then, God help us all, Secretary of State under Richard Nixon, wrote what is now well-known National Security Memorandum 200. And in it, he said that the first priority of U.S. foreign policy must be population reduction, starting with the third world. So who's exempt? The elite are exempt. And if you don't think they don't have their stash of nano silver 10 parts per million, you're in the wrong, you know, you're in a coma.
Well, okay, I've got another caller. Sophia from Minnesota is on line three with a few questions. Go ahead,
Hi.
Sophia.
This question is for the general. General, do you know who hit the towers or what hit the towers on 9/11?
Yeah, the United States.
Can you, was it a drone plane, or was, do you know exactly what it was, or do you have any suspicion of what it was? What's your opinion on it?
My opinion is that it was not, excuse me, it was designed to make us look like we could go to war immediately, and it was done by our own government with our own planning, and the strike was exactly, did exactly what it was supposed to do, except that, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If a plane or a drone hit a tower that like that, and there was an explosion, why would there be other explosions all the way down the tower? Which there
That's
were.
A good question.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it does seem like a demolition inside job. And I think, you know, a large percentage of America and the world can agree with this.
I think a number of people agree with us now. At the time that I made, when at the time that I went public, and I went public about the hit on the Pentagon, and I said that what hit the Pentagon was not an airplane, and you can prove it. And I went public with that, started the rest of the sort of publication of the rest of what happened on 9/11, i.e. the towers, i.e. the Building 7, which the owner of Building 7 was heard on on record as saying, pull it. And that was just before the Building 7 went up in smoke. Now, what are the words pull it? What do they mean? They are the words for detonation of deliberate destruction of a building or a tower or a whatever. But those words are the exact words that are used
Larry Silverstein.
In controlled demolition.
Right.
What do you think?
I agree. I can't agree with you more, Mr. General.
I'd
like to point out something. This is a puzzle that we really don't understand. When General Burt went public with his statement that whatever it was that hit the Pentagon, it surely was not an airplane. And he explained that he was a photographic interpreter and so on. And that was released in a documentary. The clip from that documentary, One Nation Under Siege, by Dave Van Cleese and Joyce Riley, the clip from that documentary was picked up by CNN, and it was run every 20 minutes around the clock, respectfully. They weren't saying, ha, 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 look at this idiot. They were saying, here's what General Stubblebine has to say. CNN, which, of course, as we know, is the same as CIA, ran this clip around the clock for 2 weeks, every 20 minutes. And I would ask anybody out there, if they have a hypothesis as to why, to please explain it, because that's one we can't figure out.
Well, I'd hate to cut you real short, but I have to take a quick break. This is Rock Cash with our guest, Major General Stubblebine, and his wife, Rima Lebo. We'll be right back after a short break on the BBS Radio Network.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please. Give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. This is Rock Cash with my guest, Major General Stubblebine, and his wife, Dr. Rima Lebo. Doctor, can you please put it in your site again one more time for our listeners so they can get it down?
The place to go for the protocol on how to use nanosilver, which I'm making available free to anyone who wants it. The place to go is www.nsf, N for natural, S for solutions, F for foundation, nsfmarketplace.com. Go there, enter your email data, and I will send you two gifts. One is the protocol, and that will tell you how to use the nano silver preventively and in case you get sick. And the second thing is a free subscription to our newsletter, because you will want the updates. You will want to know what's real, what's actually going on, and you surely won't get it from the news media. So the mainstream media. So if you go to nsfmarketplace.com and enter your email information there, which we never sell, we protect it as carefully as we protect our own, you will get the protocol. Then, if you want to acquire the same solution that the U.S. Department of Defense research shows is the only thing that we know that's effective against Ebola, it's right there. It's called Dr. Rima Recommends Nano Silver, 10 parts per million. Now, there are other silvers out there, and maybe they'll work, and maybe they won't. Nobody knows. It's not worth the risk.
Okay, we will pass that on. I've got a couple of questions from you from our listeners. We've had Dana in Israel, and her first question was, but I believe it was answered, how do you know that the Ebola virus was created? But I know Major Stubblebine was in the intelligence field in the military, and that would pretty much answer the question. Her next question
Rock, if I may. There's another answer to that question, and that is because the Scientific American published a paper which says this is a novel virus. We don't understand the genetic sequence. This doesn't seem to be like a regular Ebola virus. And then from the very beginning of this outbreak with the supposed two-year-old child in Guinea, and then suddenly the outbreak of the virus in three remote areas of Guinea all at once, which happened to be places, by the way, where illegal vaccine trials were being carried out. From the very beginning, the World Health Organization has called this a novel Ebola virus. That means that the genetic material has not been seen before. Oops.
Okay. And her next question is about what's going on in Iraq, and who does the general think is behind ISIS, and what is ISIS? Is this just another propaganda thing to get Christians here in the United States fired up to fight?
Well, I hate to admit this, but the United States is behind it and funded it. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells us that we're behind it and we funded it. What is the purpose of it?
And that we trained them.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think we get to go in and save them, don't we?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, it doesn't seem like Obama's really attacking ISIS right now, but, it seems that they left a deposit of weapons for them in Iraq, or those weapons were recently shipped there. I don't think those weapons were left behind, even though there is a policy that we leave tanks and maybe small arms and things of that nature in countries. But, General, do we leave strategic missiles and things that can shoot down our own planes in nations that we plan on attacking in the future again?
Why not?
Would it be a...
Look, if you want to have a conflict, you've got to have proof that somebody did something wrong, i.e., think about the towers. Initially, that was all done by Middle East agents, okay? Not by the United States, by the Middle East. Suddenly, who was behind it? The United States. Well, transpose that to the current
Iraq.
Yeah, transfer that same kind of thought pattern to what's going on right now. Who is behind it? The United States.
Okay. Next question is, what do you think about what's going on in Israel? Hello?
I think that... That is a morass. if you really want to know.
The genocide.
And, I think that the Israelis are not going to stop until they have total domination in the area, which they pretty well have now. And I think they're seeking more. And I think that that is a horrible situation, frankly.
Okay. What do you know about the existence of Israel and the entire situation since its beginning, the creation of Israel? Why was it done? Is this something that was done by the West or by the elitists to create an onslaught of humanity to create a fight between Jews and Arabs so they can go in? Or was this because of the oil in the region?
I'll tell you what. That is such a sensitive subject.
It needs a whole lot more time.
I was going to say that you can't do this in 5 minutes.
But I'd like to make an observation. It is very handy. It is very handy to have somebody that everybody hates when they should, in fact, be turning their attention to the oppressor, and you get them to turn their attention to a synthetic enemy. Now, as it happens throughout history, Jews have been a very handy synthetic enemy. Don't hate the Tsar, hate the Jews. Don't hate the Caliph, hate the Jews. Don't hate the King and Queen of Spain who are bankrupting you, hate the Jews. Very, very helpful. And this is another time when the globalists are only too happy to have anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, anti-this, anti-that, fervent hatred. Hate them. Don't even think about us. Now, there are people who want the world as we know it destroyed and who want everything that we think we know about our world to change into one where we are dominated by the elite, the neo-aristocrats, as they call themselves. They don't have a religion. They don't have a nation. They don't have any affiliations that mean anything to them except what serves them at the moment. They are psychopaths. It doesn't matter whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Jain or Martian or reptiles. It doesn't, I don't believe in reptilians. It doesn't matter. What matters is that the hatred is very convenient to them. And every time you fall into the virulent anti-Semitic crap that is so popular on the internet, that is so popular among people who otherwise are pretty smart, you are giving them, the globalists, more power over you.
Right. I agree with you, but why are the Jews doing this to people when it was done to them prior? They should be the ones to understand what's going on. And well, that they wouldn't commit it to somebody else.
I'd like to answer that.
What if they still want power too?
I would like to answer that as a child psychiatrist. Okay? That is my original medical training. I did my medical degree and then I did 5 years of psychiatric training, including child and adolescent psychiatry. When you abuse a child, the vast statistical likelihood is that the child who doesn't like being abused will identify with the aggressor and grow up to be an abuser. The only way to break the cycle of abuse is either by having something profound change inside the child or to not abuse the child. And that's what's happening here. The replication of the same kind of hideous, inexcusable abuse seems to make sense because they are repeating the unresolved trauma. And that is a very important piece. Now, the people that they're traumatizing are being killed and being horribly, horribly abused in a way that shouldn't happen to anybody. It's wrong. It's wrong. But there's another piece here, too, and that is that the Iron Dome doesn't exist. It's a complete fraud that the dangerous rockets that Hamas is supposedly firing are empty tubes that basically the Israelis are firing at themselves. The big explosions that are going off in the air. Oh, look, the Iron Dome took down another incendiary rocket. Nonsense. They're calculated fireworks. There is no thermal print of an encounter between the Iron Dome rockets and any kind of rocket. It's all smoke, mirrors, and pyrotechnics. The Israelis have gone bonkers, just as the globalists have gone bonkers, and they're controlled by, guess who? The same globalists who are controlling the United States, which has gone completely bonkers.
Right, like the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Bilderbergs, and the Trilateral Commissions, and the British monarchies of Europe.
These are the people
behind all of this?
And these people have no religion, they have no state, and they have no compassion for any human being, even their own.
Well, what do you say to the Israelis that are killing their Semitic cousins?
Well, listen, if we're killing people in Africa who happen to be dark-skinned and we're white-skinned, is it any different than killing our Semitic cousins if we're Israelis? It's the same. We're all cousins. It's all the same slaughter.
Exactly. And I do concur. I have Israeli friends that I've been trying to explain this to. And, for some reason, they don't get it. And I believe it's because they're under the psychiatrical conditioning of their own state and, the propaganda that is being fed to them also.
I'd add one more thing. I do believe that Israel is seeking more territory. I think that they would love to have another chunk of territory down that way. That's opinion. I have no facts. That's my own opinion, just having watched and listened and heard and seen what's going on.
Well, doesn't want more territory? What nation state wouldn't like to have another chunk of somebody else's land?
Right. And can you please explain, since you said somebody else's land, can you please explain to some of these people the rationale behind the existence of the State of Israel and the creation? Maybe you have a little bit more insight than I do.
There are those who say that the Holocaust was precipitated in order to lead to, like a chess game, in order to lead to the move that would create the establishment of the State of Israel. I'm not convinced. I believe that although Hitler was absolutely funded and schooled by John D. Rockefeller and Averell Harriman and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the whole cabal and the Bush grandfathers. I mean, there's no question about that. I do not believe that it was that well orchestrated. Now, I don't put it past them. I think they would have liked to do it, but I don't think that it was that well orchestrated. However, events roll out and happenstance occurs, and then the globalists adapt to it. So I think that the uber conspiracy theory about why the Holocaust happened is not correct, although we know from a book called The War Against the Jews by Hannah Arendt that Roosevelt, as the sitting president, was actually offered all of the Jews of Europe by Adolf Hitler. And his response was, and I quote, we have this letter in his hand, why would I accept the offal of Europe? So there wasn't a whole lot of, shall we say, protective diligence against what was going on because it was part of the eugenics agenda that John D. Rockefeller Jr. brought to Germany. John D. Rockefeller Jr., as your listeners probably know, actually sponsored and funded the two Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes on eugenics, one in Munich and one in Berlin, in order to bring forward the concept of killing anybody whom you didn't like the existence of for whatever reason. And so I think they were only too happy to help fund this Holocaust, and then to make use of it as they saw fit later.
Okay.
Okay.
Good explanation. Good explanation. This is that makes a lot more sense. I have a question for the general, and this is from Buzzy Conrad in Langley, Virginia. He wants to ask you, sir, without breaking classified information policies, can you say for certain that there should have been more than one camera pointed at the point of impact at the Pentagon?
Let me tell you, I'm not sure that even the one that was on was supposed to be on. The fact that there was one on, to me, sounded or appears to have been a mistake, because in that one that was on, you see the missile coming in to hit the Pentagon. I mean, the proof positive that it was, in fact, not an airplane, wasn't, and oh, by the way, I don't know whether your listeners know this, at one time the missile was painted to look like an airplane, but when you took the painting...
You're talking about the pixelation.
Yeah, the pixelation made to look like an airplane, but when you take it off and bring it back to its original, it's clearly a missile that's coming in. And I think that was a mistake.
Frankly. Well, the initial hole was a missile hole. You know, the average people on the ground wouldn't realize that, but former military personnel that have seen things as far as missiles and explosions would understand that there's no way that the plane can go through that block wall. The plane is a aluminum can that gets crushed like any other beer can when you push it up against a brick.
Well, the other thing is, where were the wing marks?
Exactly.
Theoretically, it penetrated enough into the building to have left wing marks on the walls, and there were none.
How about the two engine marks?
Well, and that was the other very interesting thing. There was a turbine that was a single turbine that was still seen in the photograph, which you can't find anymore. And it just didn't happen to fit the airplane. And the airplane, of course, disintegrated. It evaporated. It went away in a whisk of nothing. Yeah, right. But the missile engine was still there.
It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was from a Minuteman missile. Oops.
Ah, wow. I'm so sorry. I know it was from a missile. But I have to cut it short. This hour went so quick. Such a great conversation. We'd like to invite you back, General, in the near future. We'll have our producer get back in touch with you, because this conversation is way too short for us. I'd like to remind everybody to join us again on the People Speak next week. We have Ambassador Peck here on the BBS Radio Network. This is Rock Cash saying good night and stay blessed. Thank you once again, General, and thank you, Dr. Label. And
you're quite welcome. We're delighted.
We'll have you again soon.
In here.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California. New York Island, Redwood Forest, to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.